For our scripture reading, let's look together in Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah lived and prophesied in the time when God raised up Babylon to come and take Israel away into captivity. It wasn't all of a sudden. Actually, there were three different times when Nebuchadnezzar came down and took captives to Babylon. And the final time was when God purposely come and actually destroy the temple, destroy Jerusalem because of their idolatry. So the central message of Jeremiah really has to do with Judah's inevitable destruction and exile at the hands of the Babylonians. And it shows God's justice and his wrath. And yet in all that, he preserved a remnant. So while it's a book of justice, God's holiness against idolatry, at the same time, we see in this also God's grace and mercy in preserving a remnant, even Jeremiah preserving him, because the kings of Israel were against his message, just like today. You stand and preach God's holiness and justice and wrath upon a nation, even such as the United States, and people will balk. They'll say, well, no, United States, that's a Christian nation. How could God destroy a Christian nation? But that's their delusion, because what most people call Christianity today is actually nothing but idolatry. People worshiping a god of their own imagination, a god like other nations. And that's what idolatry is. It's forming an idea of God, but it's not God in truth. So as we read here in Jeremiah 33, you can imagine Jeremiah being given this word of the Lord to declare. Two of the kings actually wanted him killed. One took his scroll that he was writing and threw it in the fire to burn it. And another actually had him arrested and thrown into a dungeon and held for execution. And then the Lord tendered the king's heart and was actually instrumental in delivering Jeremiah. And Jeremiah ended up going down into Egypt when the Babylonians ultimately came into the land. He was never taken into captivity himself. So when we read this in chapter 33 and verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. So this would have been when he would have been arrested by King Zedekiah. He gave permission to the people to have Jeremiah shut up because he was opposed to his message. But the Lord never leaves his own alone. He watches over them and cares for them. And Jeremiah lived to fulfill every purpose for which God raised him up. So he says, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Great and mighty in the sense of judgment. No one believed his word that God would actually cause a heathen nation to come and destroy that temple. They made an idol out of the temple. So great and mighty in his judgment, but also great and mighty in his salvation, that out of that, God would deliver a remnant. That was necessary because God had promised to preserve Israel until such time as he brought his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. And so we read in verse 4, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. There was already destruction going on over a period of time. They come to fight with the Chaldeans. So they took up arms against this very nation that the Lord had raised up to come against Israel. But it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men. And notice here, whom I have slain in my anger and in my fury. And for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. You would think, well, Israel is God's people, so when the Chaldeans come, they would be routed. But it was just the opposite. God was raising up the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, and as the sons of Israel determined to fight this enemy, the Lord slew them. He said, behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. See, there's the twofold message that we have here. One of judgment, and yet the Lord promising even in this that there would be those he would cure. Not all, because it's obvious there were those that the earth was filled with their dead bodies. That's God's wrath. Esau have I hated, but Jacob have I loved. Who makes thee to differ? This is the Lord. I will bring it health and cure to that remnant that he would preserve. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. Israel was taken into captivity for 70 years. So this is God foretelling already what he would do. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. See, God's a pardoning God, but he exercises that pardon as he will. Some condemned to die, but others preserved unto life. And it shall be to me a name of joy, of praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. So God's just when he condemns, but he that he saves, it's his goodness. And I believe these are scriptures that ultimately look forward to the coming and doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that true remnant, the true Israel, that God purposed to save in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all of their iniquities would be pardoned. All of their transgressions against God. So if we're alive today and rejoicing, even as here it says, and it shall be to me a name of joy. This is talking about the new Jerusalem. This is talking about the true Israel that Christ came to redeem. A name of joy. God had his favor on his elect from all eternity. And in the coming and doing and dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed each one unto himself. It says, they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads to repentance. Thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place, which he say shall be desolate without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah, and the streets of Jerusalem. Imagine that for 70 years the land was wasted, and people looking upon it thought that surely the Lord had completely abandoned that place. It's desolate, without man and without inhabitant, and without beast. Then we read the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. You see why I say this is forward-looking, because who's the bride but the church? The bridegroom, that's Christ. The voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. That's an interesting distinction, not the sacrifices, but the sacrifice of praise. That's that one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. The reason he purposed the return of the captivity and even the rebuilding of the temple was because it was into that temple that his true lamb would come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that lamb be sacrificed for the sin of his people. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place. That's in this place. See, there was a purpose, time, and place whereby that sacrifice would be offered, and that's there at Calvary. Again, in this place, which is desolate, without man, without beast, and all the cities thereof shall be in habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. And the cities of the mountains, and the cities of the vale, and the cities of the south, and the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Why does it mention specifically Judah? Well, Christ came from the tribe of Judah. Why does it mention specifically Jerusalem, where God will bring his blessing? Because that's where he purposed that his name should dwell until Christ should come and fulfill all things. And so, verse 14, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel, to the house of Judah. Their being brought back from captivity was a type, a picture of God's deliverance and salvation of his true Israel. In those days, here it is, verse 15, and at that time I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. How did Christ execute judgment and righteousness in the land? Well, he came and earned and established that righteousness to satisfy God's long justice, whereby then God would be just to justify his true Israel in those days. So it's looking even far beyond the bringing back of Israel from captivity in Babylon. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. That name belongs to everyone for whom Christ paid the debt. They don't have any righteousness in themselves. It's the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. David had already been dead many years. And yet here is God promising to fulfill what he promised to David, that there would never want or need, lack a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. That can only be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no king sitting on any throne over in that national Israel today. They got a prime minister, they got a Knesset, they got parliament, they got all these things, but where's the king? Well, he's seated in glory, and he's ruling and reign over his Israel. That's the true Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. You say, well, where are the priests today? Well, Revelation 1, verse 6 says that he has made of us a kingdom of priests. So the Levites that are mentioned here are those that Christ has redeemed by his shed blood, who minister unto him, the high priest. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season. What he's talking about is what we experience every day, 24 hours a day. There's day and there's night. It's a cycle. But the Lord is saying, if anybody could come along and break that cycle, to say there's no longer going to be day or night, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. But what it's saying is that'll never happen. God promised and fulfilled everything he said he would do. Now, this is being prophesied in the midst of a time when God's about ready to clean that land out in judgment. He says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. There's that kingdom, seed of David in Christ. There's that the priests, the Levites that minister unto me. That's every one of us for whom Christ has paid the debt. When we come together for worship, we're ministering unto him with sacrifices of praise to his name and honor. That's why when we sing, we look for hymns that glorify Christ as the Lamb. That's why in the preaching, it's all to Christ the Lamb. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, "Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying?" So here he is. He's facing opposition. They're mocking him. So don't consider their words. The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. He's talking there about Israel and Judah, the two families, the 10 tribes of the north, they were already wiped out. And now he's taking Judah into captivity. And so they're saying, where's the Lord in all of this? The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. That's what they were saying. But thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, in other words, go out there and see how he set all things in order. 13 years ago, they shot a rocket up in the air, and they're saying today it's how many billions of miles it's taken 13 years to get there, and it's still snapping pictures. It's going to take a couple more years for this to come back. You say, how can men even do that and predict where it's going to go? Well, it's because of the order. God has placed all things in order. That's the ordinances of heaven and earth. But if it's possible that all of that cease, then, verse 26, he says, will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant? He's talking about Christ. Sooner be possible for Christ to cease being the Son of God than for God to fail in any way toward one of those for whom Christ paid the debt. He said, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return. And there's a good statement, have mercy on them. So in judgment, there is mercy. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. It's well beyond what we can even comprehend, even reading it. We need to go back and contemplate once again your goodness and your severity. And marvel that even though there are those you have appointed unto death, unto condemnation, yet there is that remnant that you purpose to save in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have saved by his death there at Calvary, and that he rules and reigns today. There's never lacked a seed to sit on David's throne. The Lord Jesus Christ is that seed, and he rules and reigns, and I'm thankful. I pray that you would bless us as we continue our time of worship in your word, and I pray that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be glorified in our midst. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory in his precious name.